Okay, I have another chapter that I'd like to get to, but let me leave it open for a few more thoughts before we move on. Anything else on this topic?
I was thinking the last few verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Very good. Let's turn there.
I guess verses 14 to 17, where he tells Timothy that he knew the Holy Scriptures from as a child. He tells him to abide in these things.
Good. Okay, so 2 Timothy 3, which verse should we start looking at, Joe?
14,
okay.
But thou abide in those things which thou hast learned, of which thou hast been fully persuaded, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the sacred letters, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Every scripture is divinely inspired, profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully fitted to every good work.
Excellent. Any additional thoughts to elaborate on that?
We have this mind of God, if we know these things, he'll be able to fit us with his spirit, and we'll be able to complete every good work he gives us.
Excellent.
And maybe just to build on that, if you look at the very next verse in the next chapter, when it's done with them, after verse 17, in chapter 4 it says, I charge you therefore before God, and that's just as far as I want to go. He says, before God, and that little word before means in the sight of God, in God's presence. And this is connecting back to what we had before. And then in chapter 3, he says that the man of God rightly divided the word, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, verse 14. So in the sight of the Lord, not to strive about words and so forth, but be diligent to present yourself approved of God and so forth. But the thought in both of those verses is in the sight of God. And so it emphasizes the importance of us having the reality in our life that we live and move in the presence of God, and whom everything is open, naked before him. And when we realize that he's always with us, never to leave us, never to forsake us, his presence is there. And as Steve was elaborating earlier on, his presence and how important that is for us. And where do we enjoy that presence and get strengthened by that presence? It's in the Word.
Very good. Okay, I'd like for us to focus now on a specific New Testament chapter. Let's play a little word association. Okay, when we're talking about understanding the mind of God, to learn God's mind, I say 1 Corinthians, you say... You don't whisper. I didn't say you whisper. I said you say.
Chapter 2.
Thank you, Sammy. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay, and so if it didn't come to mind, put a little note somewhere in your Bible or in your notes or something. 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2 together are a really lovely and unique set of verses to demonstrate what is promised and given to the Christian. We sometimes read a few verses here and there from these chapters, but to look at them as a whole piece is really a great encouragement. We can't look at them as a whole piece today, but let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'd like to look at a pretty sizable passage, but Sammy, start us off by giving us the verse that we can get that information about the mind of God in.
I guess verse 11 and 12.
Okay, go ahead.
For who of men hath known the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Thus also the things of God knows no one except the spirit of God. But we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things which have been freely given to us of God.
Excellent. Go ahead and instruct us from those verses. What is the meaning of those verses for us?
Well, that just like you really can't know me except by the way that I reveal myself to you, and if it's somehow I could give you my spirit, you'd know absolutely everything there was to know about me, and you could think like me and act like me. God, no one could ever have known God except he revealed himself, and he's revealed himself in creation and in many ways, but the most complete way is his very own spirit, the spirit of God, you know, a divine person, is given to live in us so that we can quite simply, just have the mind of God right there, and which is also in the last verse, verse 16 says, but we have the mind of Christ.
Very good. Excellent. So, yeah, in verse 16 also has this quote, who has known the mind of the Lord? This Old Testament quote says, who could ever know the mind of the Lord, says the prophet. And Paul answers, we do have the mind of Christ. If you're seeking to know God's will, you can know it. Now, it doesn't mean that we have things as easily set out before us. You know, we'd love it if just walking up to a door and seeing if it opens, like when you go to the supermarket, you know, you step ahead and, well, is the door opening yet? No, sometimes you have to get even a little closer. And it really causes dependence on the Lord. But his goal is not to play, you know, hide and seek with us. The scripture in Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and what? He shall direct your paths. It's what he wants to do. And we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of God. We are given the Spirit of God so that we can know what God thinks, what God intends for us. We can understand his thoughts for us, his thoughts about us, his thoughts towards us. All these things are true because the Spirit of God is given in this unique way to the Christian, who, by the way, is called two things, just as an aside, it's very nice, John 14 and 15 and 16. The Holy Spirit is mentioned in all three of those chapters. What are the two things he's sort of called in those chapters? The Comforter is one. He's called the Comforter in all three of those chapters, and he's called the Spirit of Truth. So both of those are in all three chapters. He's the Comforter and he's the Spirit of Truth, and that's the one whom God has sent when the Lord Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will send you another Comforter. That's the one whom God has sent. The one who will come alongside us like a Comforter and guide our steps and guide our hearts and encourage us and support us. And the one also who is the Spirit of Truth, who will guide us into all truth. Okay, so we've established from this chapter, first of all, that we can know God's mind. In what context is this truth given? And I'll be more specific because I don't want to be too vague with this question. Kind of page through chapters 1 and 2. How is it related to the Lord Jesus? What experience of the Lord Jesus provides the context for this truth of knowing the mind of God? I'll say it again. What experience of the Lord Jesus provides the context for knowing the mind of God, having the mind of God?
What experience of the Lord Jesus? Like, what did the Lord Jesus go through himself?
Yes. Okay, you've got the answer, I think.
Huh?
Oh, I thought he did.
When he was baptized?
No, I don't think we have that. It's actually not as difficult as it sounds, but it's just when you see it, you'll see it everywhere. The what?
Obedience to the Father.
Obedience to the Father to what point?
To die on the cross.
Oh. Okay? Sorry. I didn't mean to make it so complicated. But. Mm-hmm. All right. So give us some verses from from 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 2, that refer to, just call out some verses, chapter 1, verse whatever, chapter 2, verse whatever. What shows us that Christ's crucifixion, Christ's death on the cross, provide the context for this? For this truth. Chapter 2, verse 8, which says, go ahead.
Which none of the princes of this age could, but had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Not have crucified the Lord of glory, sorry.
So to the natural man, they were completely ignorant of what God's thoughts were when the Lord Jesus hung on the cross. But now we can enter into it.